Hare Krishna. Our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, with great efforts, established a temple in Sri Mayapur Dham. It was there that Lord Chaitanya appeared in this world and inaugurated the Sankirtan movement. And Srila Prabhupada therefore considered Mayapur Dham from a spiritual perspective to be the center of the universe. And it was his vision that it be the international headquarters for the Krishna consciousness movement. At that time, in the early 70s, although a very holy place, Sri Mayapur Dham was quite isolated. It was just a few little temples established by his Gurudev Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada and some of his god brothers. Very simple road, the river Ganges, and so many agricultural fields. But in the heart of it is the Yoga Peet, the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada saw one very lonely field, and he envisioned that that would be his international headquarters. But no one would sell it to him. He sent so many people to try to get it, but it seemed impossible. He called for His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. If anyone could do it, it's you. And after great effort, he returned to Calcutta late at night, entered into Srila Prabhupada's room, and said, "Srila Prabhupada, here is the deed for your property in Mayapur Dham." He had this vision even then and started it with a little straw hut, literally made out of straw, thatched roof, straw walls, and he moved in. And he was so happy. There was nothing around but fields. And when the rainy season came and it flooded, whoever was there had to sleep on the straw roof because the whole hut became part of the Ganges River. But he wanted to emphasize, because it is Lord Chaitanya's eternal place of residence, how holy it is. Thakur Bhaktivinod, the great saint, he had a dream that millions of people from all over the world, Europeans, Americans, Africans, Russians, Chinese, people from every land, from every race, from every religion. They would all gather together someday in Sri Mayapur Dham with their arms raised, chanting the holy names to them. As brothers and sisters in the true sense. Because from a physical perspective, we have our brothers, our sisters, our family members. But in the view of eternity, how long do we have these relationships? They're important while they last. But after a few years, the Srimad Bhagavatam explains, our relationships in this world are like pieces of straw in the river of life. And sometimes waves bring two straws together, sometimes three, four, five, and then another wave comes and they all go their own way. By the power of time, we almost physically die, although the soul is eternal, and whatever physical relationships we can't even remember. In our past lives, whatever relationships we had were probably as dear to us as now, as important to us as now, but we don't remember any of them. All we remember is the here and now. And in our next lives, who will we remember? But from a spiritual perspective, we are all eternal souls, Satchit Ananda, and Aham Bija Pradapita. Krishna tells, I am the father and mother of everyone. From that perspective, in truth, we are all brothers and sisters. And these relationships, when we realize our own spiritual essence, then we can perceive our relationships with others in this light. Neither time nor death can anyway influence these relationships. So Thakur Bhaktivinoda's dream was people from all castes, all races, all sexes, and whatever's in between these days. People from all religions, all ages, all educational, economic backgrounds, as eternal brothers and sisters with arms raised, embracing one another in love, will be chanting Krishna's names together. Because this was the gift that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give the world from Mayapur Dham. And I was just there in Mayapur. And there's thousands and thousands of devotees. There's hundreds when I was there. There was hundreds from Russia. There was dozens from China. There were people from Africa and Europe and America. A lot from India, too. And places, Mongolia, South America, Australia. Every place in the world, practically. Singing and dancing together in love for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada fulfilled the dream of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And by his great compassion, he has asked us to carry on expanding this dream. In the Adi Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami cites Lord Chaitanya, who proclaimed that he was a gardener. And he had harvested innumerable fruits. Not ordinary fruits, but the fruits of bhava bhakti, prema bhakti, love for Krishna. He said, these fruits are so sweet, nectarine, and fulfilling. He said, all this is Krishna in the form of Mahaprabhu. Krishna says, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, I'm the proprietor of everything that exists. So if anybody knows the value, it's Krishna, the proprietor. We may guess what the value of some very wealthy person's, you know, things in his house is, but he knows, or she knows. Lord Chaitanya said, all the wealth in the entire universe, in fact, all the wealth, all the property, all the jewels, everything in all the universes is not equal in value to even a single one of these fruits of love of God. Because it is so sweet that if one even tastes one fruit, even one bite of this fruit, one will be fully intoxicated in ecstasy and satisfied for the rest of eternity. And he said, I have billions of fruits, and I want to distribute them. I've come to this world to give these fruits to everyone and anyone, even if they don't ask. I don't see who's fit or unfit. I'm willing to give it to anyone. The only qualification is you accept it. Whether one is male or female or black or white or red or yellow or brown, or whether one is atheist, agnostic, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Jew, Jain, Parsi, Sikh, or don't know. Whether one is rich or poor, illiterate, or a genius. I don't even consider these things, the Lord said. Even if you're the most sinful of all sinners, or if you're the most pious of all pious, doesn't matter. I want to give these fruits of love of God. Just take it. And Lord Chaitanya said, I have so many. How many could I distribute myself? Therefore, he was appealing to all concerned people in the world, to all his devotees. In fact, he gave an order to every living being. He said, accept this fruit, taste this fruit, be happy, and distribute this fruit to others. Because the perfection of life Can you hear me? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare
Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
Can you hear me now?
Okay.
Krishna's curbing the pride of the sound system department. These people are very postgraduates in electrical technology. But in Krishna's temple, everyone is humbled. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the perfection of life is to use to dedicate one's work, wealth, one's mind and intelligence, and one's words for the benefit of others. This is civilization. This is culture. Culture is not just the way we dress. Culture is our character, the character of respect. Amanita manadena, to respect other people. To respect them as sacred, holy children of God. Essentially, everyone is that, whether they know it or not, whether they act like it or not. And to respect the soul of others is to try to do good for that soul. This is culture. To dedicate one's body, mind, and words for the welfare of other living beings. And the highest welfare is to distribute these fruits of love of God, to solve all problems, and give one real happiness. Anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam puram ritasvadanam. The chanting of the holy names, Lord Chaitanya said, allows us to taste the nectar that we have been looking for birth after birth after birth after birth. The nectar of knowing Krishna and loving Krishna. True compassion in its fullest and purest state is compassion for the eternal soul of others. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to receive this fruit. When he was at Prayag, at the confluence of the Yamuna, Ganga, and Saraswati rivers, at the Dasaswamedha Ghat, he had met Sri Rupa Goswami. Lord Chaitanya, he had gone to Vrindavan, and on his way back, during the month of Magh, when there's a big festival, the Magh Mela, he went to Prayag. And there Rupa Goswami and his brother, Anupam, they saw the Lord. And when they first saw him leading a kirtan with thousands of people at the Veni Madhava temple, Rupa Goswami bowed down and with folded hands composed a verse that has never been forgotten. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaura Tveshe Namaha. I offer my obeisances to you, Lord Gauranga, who are Krishna himself. But of all avatars, the mercy, the kindness, the love that you extend toward the souls of this world is unprecedented, because you are giving the highest revelations to people who have no qualifications in this age of Kali. The love of the Brijabasis of Vrindavan you are giving freely. It was there that Lord Chaitanya instructed Rupa Goswami for 10 days. And he gave, once again, the analogy of the gardener. He said that each devotee should be like a gardener. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Bija. That due to the influences of karma, the jiva, or the eternal soul, passes through so many lives. Padma Purana tells us that there are 8,400,000 species of life within the cosmic manifestation. And how many of these births we have evolved through, we cannot even calculate. And when one finally comes to the human life, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, it's very sacred. Durlabha Manava Janma Lobhya Samsare. The human life is so rare because, and the rarest thing in the human life is the association of devotees. Because in that association, one can understand what is our true purpose. What is Sanatana Dharma? After wandering and wandering and wandering through so many universes, when one is very fortunate, one comes in contact with Guru. The Guru plants, or we could say awakens, the seed of bhakti within the heart. In Sanskrit, it is called the bhakti lata bija. The seed of the creeper of pure devotion. There is nothing so precious as that seed. Because if cultivated properly, it will grow into the fruit of love of God. Lord Chaitanya said that we water the seed through our sadhana. Especially through hearing about Krishna and chanting Krishna's names, remembering Krishna. By hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, by meditating on the Lord in this way, it's like ambrosial water that nourishes that seed to grow. First, it becomes like a little sprout that comes out. At the beginning, we don't even know it's there. It's like it's underground. Yes, we all have the seed, but it's so deep underground until it begins to sprout, we don't know. But through hearing and chanting, a little sprout comes. And we keep watering, watering, watering. It grows bigger and bigger. But especially in the beginning stages, that little seed is very vulnerable. So we should build a fence around it. Otherwise, people will step on it and crush it. Or animals will step on it and crush it. And the way we protect it is with the fence of moral character. We follow these four regulative principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. These are just some basic ways of protecting the seed from being trampled upon by immoralities. And he especially warns us not to allow wild elephants into that little garden. Mad elephants. Have any of you ever met a mad elephant? I'm talking not figuratively, but for real. I was recently at our farm in Karnataka. Would you like to hear this story? Maybe I'll... I'd love to tell you in great detail, but it takes time. So I'll tell you very, very brief. They told me that there's a neighbor who has very fresh water, and they have to walk with buckets back and forth. But in the season where there's not growing of rice crops, they get to bring an ox-pulled water tank, and then it makes really easy for them. Now, I was there, and it was the season of the rice crop, and I saw that they have the ox with the big water tank. I said, how is this? They said, by the grace of a mad elephant. They told me this elephant, he comes every year or so. Huge male elephant with big tusks. And he, at night, he comes to this person's rice field and eats to his heart's content. And elephants eat a lot. So practically an entire paddy he eats. And then he eats so much, he lays down. And whatever he didn't eat, he crushes. Because when elephants lay on something, it's finished. And then he would just get up and keep laying in different places. And within a week or so, he destroyed all his fields. So the person said, come and get my water, it doesn't matter. But then they told me this little boy, about 8 years old, happened to be walking around, and he saw the elephant, and he screamed, and the elephant went, and attacked that boy, trampled him with his feet, and then pierced his tusk through him. And the boy was killed. But because elephants are endangered species, you can't kill them. You'll be put in prison for a long time if you harm an elephant. So they couldn't do anything to the elephant, but the elephant was killing their children. And one day, two brahmacharis from our ashram, they happened to be walking, and they came face to face with the mad elephant. And the elephant went, sorry about that. And charged toward these two devotees. And the devotees were running, but elephants are very fast runners. The elephant was galloping, so there was no possibility that they could escape. They were running, 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 and the elephant was catching up really fast, and he was screaming. And there was no doubt that he was going to trample them to death. So one of the devotees, when the elephant was just behind them, and they understood they were about to die, they were praying. Because what else could you do? You know, even if you're a champion cricket player or a good wrestler, or if you know karate, what can you do against an elephant? So one of them remembered when he was a child, he was from a village, and the person said, if you're ever attacked by a mad elephant, run down a hill. Because elephants could outrun any human. But because of the weight of their body, if they try to run downhill, they can't. They'll just roll down. So they have to go really slow when they're going downhill. And it just so happened, by Krishna's grace, they were running alongside a hill. So they both dove down the hill, and they were running and running and rolling and running, and the elephant started going after them, but he had to go really slow because he was so heavy. And in this way, they escaped. Now, should I give you my purport to this story? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, criticizing others and blaspheming Vaishnavas is the mad elephant offense. When, due to our false ego, we carelessly criticize others, blaspheme devotees of the Lord, It's like welcoming a mad elephant into this little garden in our heart where the seed of love of God is just sprouting. Even if it's a little big, it can't survive. So how to avoid having our devotional service trampled by the mad elephant? We have to be very enthusiastic to take a low position. Ready, all. Because if you try to go uphill, elephants are really fast. Trinarapi sunichena taror ibasihishna. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahani. For humble like the grass, tolerant like a tree, offer all respect to others, not expect for ourselves. If we have this humble service attitude, there's no possibility of making offenses. So we have to run downhill, which means in this regard, we have to be eager for a humble service spirit. To be das, das, anu, das, not prabhu, 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 vibhu, prabhu. So back to Lord Chaitanya's analogy. He explained that when you're watering the bhakti lata bija, at the same time, weeds will grow. And the same water of hearing and chanting and devotional service, if we're not very careful, they will actually nourish the weeds. And what are the weeds? Selfish greed, desire for prestige and recognition, duplicity, egoistic diplomacy, desire for immoral activities, lying, cheating. These are all weeds. And factually, our sadhana, if we're not very careful, could water the weeds. We were discussing this. Sometimes our devotional activities could make us proud. So we have to be able to recognize. That is why it's important that we have philosophical training, so we can actually recognize and understand what is to be done and what is not to be done. And when we identify these weeds growing, Lord Chaitanya said, we should uproot them. We should not water them. We should uproot them. Because if we don't do that, in due course of time, those weeds will strangle the bhakti lata bija, the seed of devotion. And if we are careful to protect the seed, and we keep on watering, then that creeper of devotion grows and grows and grows. It grows through the 8 layers of material existence. Desire for liberation. Desire for supernatural powers. Desire for fruitive sensory pleasures are all like weeds. We have to keep our mind fixed on the true goal of pure devotional service. Because becoming attached to any of these other things is like a weed that can choke our love for God. If we're careful, under the guidance of Guru, Vaishnavas, and we're very sincere, then by this watering, the creeper of devotion will penetrate through all the layers of material existence. Cross over the viraja, which is the border between the material and spiritual worlds. Watering the creeper, it enters into the Brahmajyoti, the unlimited spiritual sky. Then it goes higher and higher into the Paravyoma, which is the spiritual sky where the Vaikuntha planets reside. Then it will go up to the Vaikuntha. And if we keep watering that seed, the creeper will reach the topmost planet of the spiritual world, Goloka, where Krishna is performing his eternal pastimes with Radha and his unlimited devotees. And there, the tree of devotion will bear fruit, the fruit of ecstatic love of God. And that fruit will fall at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And at that time, the gardener will taste the fruit and be forever satisfied. And Lord Chaitanya said, as all this is going on in the spiritual world, the gardener still here in Bombay, or wherever he may or she may be in this world, just carrying on, just hearing and chanting and being very careful with a humble service attitude. And when we taste the sweetness of that fruit, then it's our greatest ambition to distribute that fruit to everyone and anyone possible. Because once we experience what Krishna's love is, we're no longer jealous of people because they have more money, or they have more intelligence, or they're nicer looking, or they have more popularity. Because all these things are not even drops compared to the ocean of happiness, of self-realization, of true spiritual life, of prema. Therefore, to the rich, to the poor, to the literate, to the illiterate, to the religious, to the irreligious, everyone, we simply want to distribute these fruits. We want to share the fortune that we have. Paradukaduki. The more we love Krishna, the more difficult it is to see other people suffering due to compassion. When Lord Chaitanya was in Navadvip, one day he took the devotees out to do kirtan. And they were in a field. And they were chanting, dancing in the sun all day, and they were very exhausted, hungry, and thirsty, but there was nothing around. So Lord Chaitanya said, "All, everyone come here." They all gathered around in a circle around him, and he happened to pick up one old mango seed. Yes? What do you do with a mango seed? That means somebody ate the mango and just threw the seed. Lord Chaitanya dug a little hole with his own hands in the ground and stuck the mango seed in and started chanting. Suddenly, right in front of everybody's eyes, and there was hundreds of eyewitnesses who testified to the truth of this story. Right in front of their eyes, from the ground where that little seed was planted, a sprout came, and it grew, and grew, and grew. And within a matter of minutes, it was a full-grown mango tree, covered with leaves. And they're watching like this, and little sprouts grew of mangoes. Within a matter of minutes, there was thousands of fully ripe mangoes. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself collected several hundred of them. And he ate one. And then he distributed to all these other devotees. Now, these were not ordinary mangoes. They had no seed and no skin. They were pure pulp. And they were not chutney kind of mangoes. They were so sweet. They were like nectar. Just the smell of them totally intoxicated people beyond their belief. And no person could eat more than one mango because they were so absolutely satisfied. Their hunger, their thirst, and especially their spiritual hunger and thirst. Intoxicating. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just wanted to show people, what is this fruit of love of God he wanted to give us? Now we know mangoes are seasonal. They usually grow in the hottest season. Yes? It's very illustrative, the mango tree. Because in many places like Maharashtra, it only rains in the rainy season. The rainy season ends in September, at least it's supposed to. And the mangoes don't start ripening till about May, yes? That means September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. 8 months, that tree has not had any water. And it's at that time that it's giving mangoes. The tree has no water at all, but it's giving us the most succulent, juicy of all fruits. This is when Lord Chaitanya says, Taror ibasi hishnunat, to be forbearing like a tree. In the summer season, a tree will stand in the sun to give us shade. In the winter season, this tree will be covered with ice to give us wood to keep warm. And the mango tree, thirsting for water for 7 or 8 months, and at the same time giving us juicy, luscious fruits to quench our thirst. But this mango tree that Lord Chaitanya grew, this Prema Bhakti mango tree, every day at the end of their kirtan, for 12 months, they came to that tree. And every day, there were hundreds and hundreds of fruits that Lord Chaitanya would personally distribute to them. And Srila Prabhupada, in the purport to this particular verses, he says, this is the tradition. First he would have kirtan, and then he would distribute prasad. So in the same way, the Krishna consciousness movement, we have kirtan and then we distribute prasad. But today we had prasad in the middle. Prabhupada said that. We have kirtan, we take a little prasad, we do kirtan, we have a little prasad, we take more kirtan, and in this way we could live very happily. So for one full year, devotees were eating these mangoes with no pulp, with no seed and no skin, drinking the nectar. This is the purpose of the Harinam Sankirtan movement, to taste the sweetness of love of God and to distribute to others. Paramakaruna pahundui jana nitai gora chandra. This was Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's mission. This was the mission Prabhupada brought to the world. And this is the mission they're welcoming, inviting us to participate in. I'd like to tell you one story about the first public kirtan of Lord Chaitanya. This is a very historical act. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing kirtan with his closest associates in the house of Srivas. All night, every night for a year. The general people of Navadvip, they longed to honor, respect Lord Chaitanya and to see his dancing. They heard all about what goes on in that house and the beauty of Lord Chaitanya's dance and the ecstasy of love and what he was bestowing upon people. But there were other people who were very envious. Some of them were scholars. Some of them were Brahmins. They considered that Lord Chaitanya and his associates were ruining the Hindu religion because they were not very respectful toward hypocritical orthodoxy. If we study practically any of the world religions, we find there's this element of hypocritical orthodoxy, where on the basis of ritual, on the basis of hierarchy, people exploit those who are more vulnerable or who do not have the privilege that they have. The idea is, Prahlad Maharaj explained, and Narada Muni explained this to Dhruva also, that real human behavior is, if someone is junior to us, our goal in life is to protect them and uplift them. If someone is senior to us, to be inspired by them, to serve them, to learn from them. And if people are equal to us, we don't get jealous or competitive, but rather we make intimate friendships and really try to help each other, to elevate each other. So in every way, we're servant. But unfortunately, when people have power, when people have position, the tendency is to take advantage of that and exploit the weaker. And to think, I am better, I am special. So Lord Chaitanya, Advaita, Gadadhar, Haridas, they were just loving and friendly to everyone and giving everyone Harinam. And these people couldn't tolerate this. They were spreading nasty rumors. They were saying that this Nimai Pandit has become mad since he's come back from Gaya. And now he's totally corrupted all these other people. Do you know why they don't let us in the house? Because we will expose them. They're doing all sorts of black tantric rites. They're drinking blood. They're drinking intoxicant. They're kidnapping innocent young virgin girls and having sexual orgies. This is what these people were spreading all over town. And some people believed them and hated Lord Chaitanya and the devotees, and other people thought, they held their ears. Why are you saying this? Because of you, we'll never get to see the Lord dance. One morning, many of the innocent people of Navadvip came to Lord Chaitanya's house, and they all brought him gifts. Some brought him bananas, some rice paddy. Others brought him some coconuts, simple things. Patram pushpam palam toyam. But the Lord sees our heart. He sees the love of our offerings. So he was very happy. And he said to all of them, my brothers and sisters, I want to give you the best thing that I have. He said, always remember Krishna. Serve Krishna with devotion. And today I'm going to give you a mantra. By chanting this mantra, you can attain spiritual perfection. Please hear as I speak it. It has 16 words, it has 32 syllables and 16 words. It is the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So there are no hard and fast rules for chanting this mantra. You can chant when you're walking, you could chant when you're sitting, you could chant when you're alone, you could chant when you're with others. You can chant while you're at work. And when you come home with your wives or husbands or with your children or your parents, if you have some instruments, play drums, play cymbals, you could play horns. If you don't have any, just clap your hands and sing these beautiful names of Krishna, this Maha Mantra. And be happy. And now I will teach you another song. And he taught them this. He said, you can chant this as well. Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Told him, anyone who chants these holy names of the Lord becomes my very life and soul. Now don't be afraid of anything. Go and chant the holy names everywhere. So these people were so happy. They all offered their obeisances and they were smiling and laughing and they all went to their homes. They all started chanting. Soon the word spread. There were thousands and thousands of people everywhere. On the streets, in their homes, chanting Krishna's holy names. People were in ecstasy. And one day, the Chand Qazi, who was working for the Mughal government and who hated Hindus and made laws against any public demonstration of any Hindu rites, he was walking down the street, and in all directions he heard people chanting the Maha Mantra. They were all chanting Hari Hari.
Hari Hari.
He was outraged. He came into one house. He exploded with rage. How dare you? You know this is forbidden by the law. You cannot do this. He picked up a mridanga and broke it. He said, now it's nighttime. And then he had his soldiers beating everybody up in the household. And wherever else he went and he saw people chanting, he was beating them. He said, because It's night. I will leave you now. If any of you, anywhere, is ever caught chanting these names, you will be plundered of all your wealth. You will be beaten, tortured, and imprisoned. And I cannot guarantee that I will not take your life. Then he left. The people were very afraid. They were just common people. Shopkeepers, housewives. They came to Lord Chaitanya. And they were trembling. He said, have no fear. Krishna will protect you. Just go out and chant. So they were chanting. And Chankazi, he had 1,000 dacoit soldiers searching the streets day and night looking for anyone chanting Krishna's names. And they would beat them, imprison them, and plunder them. So the people again came to Lord Chaitanya's house. And they explained the situation, and he saw the fear in their hearts. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaur Sundar, he became in the same mood as Lord Shiva at the time of devastation. He took on that Shiva ras. And he cried out, Nityananda, at this very moment, spread this message to all of the townspeople and devotees. Tonight, I will personally come onto the streets and perform kirtan through all the towns and villages of Navadweep. And invite all the town people to come to see me dance. What do they have to fear when I am with them? Today, I will bring a torrential rainstorm of devotion to Krishna and love for Krishna to inundate the entire abode of Navadweep. And today, I will stand before Chankazi and the blasphemers like time personified. Let us see what he does to me. Everyone, come and gather after lunch at my house and bring with you a torch. He said, we will have kirtan through all the town, and we will culminate at the doorstep of the house of Chankazi. Have no fear. The word spread. Everyone was too excited to eat lunch. They all started making torches. A father was making a torch, his children was taking a torch. They were so enthusiastic. Some families made 1,000 torches. Some were making hundreds of torches. Some were making just a few torches. But in the afternoon, there were hundreds and thousands of people at Lord Chaitanya's doorstep. This was India's first nonviolent civil disobedience movement. Mahatma Gandhi was, in this sense, in the parampara of Lord Chaitanya. When they all gathered, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged 4 kirtan parties. One had Advaitacharya as the lead dancer. Another had Haridas Thakur as the lead dancer. Another had Srivas as the lead dancer. And Nityananda Prabhu looked at Lord Chaitanya and said,
I cannot be separated from you. I cannot dance independent of you. Let me be with you. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, we will dance together. Gaur Nitai was in the back kirtan. And they went onto the streets. They were dancing and singing. And practically all the towns of Navadvip, knowing that Gauranga Mahaprabhu was going to be coming with kirtan, they decorated their homes. The town was in such a festival. It was unbelievable. Practically every single house, they had banana trees, and they had colored powders, and they had different types of coconuts and decorations and village artwork. So much beautiful decoration. Just to please Lord Chaitanya when he came by seeing their house. And the kirtan was going down the streets. Everyone was dancing. And as they came by people's houses, the wives saw this. The husband saw this. The children saw this. The grandparents saw this. And they forgot everything. The wives forgot that they were wives. The husband forgot that they're husbands. They all just ran out and joined the kirtan, raised their arms, and lovingly chanted the holy name. No one could possibly stay home. The thieves and robbers, they saw this as the ultimate opportunity. Because nobody closed their doors, nobody locked their doors. Everyone forgot they had doors. As soon as they saw the kirtan and Mahaprabhu dancing, they just ran out and joined the kirtan. So the thieves started running to the people's houses to rob them to their heart's content. But as they were running, they heard the kirtan and they saw Lord Chaitanya dancing. They forgot that they were thieves. And soon all the thieves and robbers became completely pure-hearted, pious, charitable saints chanting the holy name. Just as the sun set, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked up at everybody, raised his arms, and said, Hadi, Hadi!
Hadi, Hadi!
And everyone, instantly, at the exact same time, lit their torches. By this time, there was over 1 million people in this kirtan, and almost everyone had a torch. They lit the torch, and while they lit it, all together, they cried out, Hadi, Hadi!
Hadi, Hadi!
Although it was night, it was lighter than day. What a scene. Everyone was dancing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone from every part of the kirtan could see his beautiful dance. He had long black hair like silk cascading down his shoulders. He had a garland of fine jasmine flowers decorating his hair. He had a garland of wild flowers that extended below his knees that was swaying back and forth as he danced and danced. Tears were pouring out of his eyes, which were like gigantic lotus petals. His eyebrows were almost touching his ears, like the bows of Kamadev. And from his eyes, tears were bathing all the people around him, tears of ecstatic love. All the hairs of his body were standing on end, like flowers of the Kadamba tree. Anyone who saw the beauty of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing, they were mesmerized with spiritual bliss. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu induced everyone to loudly chant. As the torches flamed and it became later and later in the night, the chanting was so tumultuous that it was filling the entire world. More and more and more people, at every moment, thousands more were joining. The demigods, the devas from the upper planets, even they could hear this kirtan. And they all disguised themselves as human beings and danced with all the mortals, chanting the holy name. Lord Shiva took the disguise of a human sannyasi, and he was in his full dancing form during that kirtan. As they were going from one bathing ghat, from one village, from one town to the next, to the next, to the next. And the people, when you love Krishna, you love each other. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just didn't come to teach kirtan. He came to teach Prem Sankirtan, the kirtan of ecstatic love of the heart. And the people, they just had so much love for each other. As they were dancing and singing, they were crying and bathing each other with tears, embracing each other, grabbing each other's feet. Some people were tying their hair to other people's feet. I don't know how that works, but that's what it that's what it says in the scripture. They became so deeply attached to one another on a spiritual platform. And they were all sharing their love for Lord Chaitanya with each other. And the kirtan was getting more and more ecstatic at every moment as Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya danced together. And there were so many mridangas and so many karatals, and people were blowing conch shells and horns. Millions of people were chanting simultaneously. And absolutely no one was afraid of Chankazi's soldiers. But those envious people who were accustomed to criticize, when they saw this, they thought, this is all just a big show. This Nimai Pandit is just showing off. But let's go tell the Kazi what he's doing, and then he'll come with his soldiers, and they'll all run away like scared rats. And somebody said, we don't even have to tell the Kazi. All we have to do is go to these so-called devotees and say, the Kazi's coming, the Kazi's coming, and you watch and see what happens. They'll all run like scared rats away from this kirtan and hide. They tried it. And the devotees just roared louder the holy name. Ultimately, they came through all the nine islands of Navadweep, the Varakona Ghat, Madhai Ghat, Mahaprabhu Ghat. Then they headed toward Simulia, the town of Chandkazi. As they got closer and closer, Chandkazi heard millions of voices loudly chanting. He said to his soldiers, I outlawed this chanting. How dare they? Who is doing this? What is this? Go find out. And they went, and some of his people, he said, stop it. And they went and they came running back and said, we can't stop it. Said Nimai Pandit, He's like time personified. He's just soaking everyone with tears of his ecstasy. He's laughing. He's crying. He's getting millions and millions of people to chant the holy names. Nothing could stop him. And John Kazi said, they're just having some sort of a Hindu marriage. That's all. It will pass. If they come anywhere closer to this, I will stop them. And as he said this, they came closer to his house, and he heard the roar of all these people chanting Krishna's names, and some of them were saying, punish the Kazi. And when he heard this, John Kazi ran upstairs and hid. And all of his soldiers and all of his messengers and all of his police guard, they all scattered in all directions in hiding. Some happened to be running, and they ran right into the kirtan. And they took off their military turbans and threw them away. And they hid their beards behind their... And they raised their arms and chanted with all the devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came right to Chan Kazi's door and sat at the doorstep. He knocked, but no one answered. And meanwhile, the Lord was very cool. But some of those people, you know, they were beaten up by the Kazi soldiers, and some of them, their wives were beaten, and their husbands were beaten, and their children were beaten. So they were, you know, they were purified by chanting the holy name, but still they had human emotions. They were going, they were screaming out, burn the house of the Kazi! And Kazi was hearing all this. And he was upstairs hiding behind something, trembling. And then Lord Chaitanya found one of Kazi's ministers and said, ask why Kazi is not coming to welcome a guest who has come to his house. So Chan Kazi came down. And Lord Chaitanya was so respectful to him. He got up and greeted him because he was a government official. Lord Chaitanya gave him a seat. Lord Chaitanya come to Chan Kazi's house, and he's giving the Kazi a seat. He said, please sit down. He said, why is it that I'm a guest and I've come to your house, and in human etiquette you're supposed to greet a guest and give them hospitality, but you're hiding. Why are you doing like this? And Kazi said, because you came with very angry people. And then the Kazi, he said, in our village, your maternal grandfather was like my uncle. And we were very, very close friend. And I called him, what is it, Kaka? What is it? Huh? Yeah, uncle. Said, I called him uncle and he called me nephew. That's how intimate and loving we were. So according to our village relationship, and actually these village relationships are even more intimate and more important than family relationships. So accordingly, because of my closeness to your maternal grandfather, you are my nephew and I'm your uncle. And sometimes if the nephew acts naughty, the uncle doesn't regard it and forgives him. And sometimes if the uncle makes serious mistakes, the nephew, out of love, will never hold him responsible. He'll always be kind to his uncle. So please, my nephew, be kind to me. Meanwhile, there were millions of people around his house. And Lord Chaitanya, with great affection, he said, "My dear uncle, I've come here to ask you some questions." He said, "My dear nephew, please ask me any question." He said, Lord Chaitanya said, "The cow is like our mother because she provides milk, and the bull is like our father because he tills our fields for grains to grow to sustain our lives. So why do you and your people slaughter and eat the cow who was your mother and the bull who was your father? Tell me, is this civilization?" And Kazi, he said, "Actually, in your Vedas, there's also cow sacrifice. There's two types of spirituality. There's pravritti marg and nivritti marg. In pravritti marg, where you're performing your religion because you want material benedictions, there is license for this type of cow sacrifice. It's in your Vedas. But those who are on nivritti marg, who are actually looking for spiritual salvation and higher consciousness, they will not do this." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Gauranga, he said, "That's not true." He said, "The cow sacrifice is only, it is forbidden. The only time it's sanctioned is if the Brahmin priests are so powerful that they can, in a very humane way, sacrifice an old cow, and then by chanting mantras right before everyone's eyes, they bring the cow back to life with a youthful body. And since no Brahmins can do that in the age of Kali, therefore it is totally forbidden. So why are you doing?" And Kazi said, "Actually, everything you're saying is correct." He said, "Our interpretation of our scripture is very materialistic. What you are saying is true." And then Lord Chaitanya said, "I have another question. Tonight, why you didn't try to stop our kirtan? Because you outlawed it, and previously you were beating people and robbing people, and you had thousands of soldiers in the street. Why you didn't try to stop us tonight?" He said, "I want to tell you a secret in private." Lord Chaitanya said, "These are all my confidential servants. There are no secrets from them. Speak whatever you want to say." Kazi said, "That night when I picked up the murdunga drum and broke it into pieces," said, "that night I had a dream. This very angry beast who had the body of a human and the head and the claws of a lion jumped on my chest. His eyes were flaming with anger. His tongue was going back and forth like a dueling sword. His teeth, fangs were sharp and horrible. And he growled." And then he screamed out at me, "Because you broke the murdunga drum, now I will tear you to pieces the same way you broke the drum." He dug his nails into my chest and began to rip me apart. "Because you have offended my devotees, because you have stopped the chanting of my holy names. Today I will tear you to pieces. Chan Kazi said, I was trembling, helpless. And then this half man, half lion said, you didn't do so much wrong yet, so I will not destroy you. I'm willing to forgive you, but if ever you stop anyone from chanting my names, I will be back. And I will not give you a third chance. I will destroy you and your entire race. Chan Kazi opened up his outer cloth and he showed Lord Chaitanya and all the devotees the scars of the nail marks, scratching of blood that Lord Narasimhadev caused on his chest. And then he said something else. He said, that day after this dream, some of my soldiers came back. They said, we don't know what these kirtan people are doing. They have some magical powers. We went there with our weapons to beat them, to stop them. But as soon as we raised our weapons, as soon as we tried to say something, the beards on our faces lit on fire. And we couldn't put them out. And look, my whole face is blistered. I don't even have a beard anymore. He said, one soldier after another, they were all coming to me one by one, individually, with the same situation. And then some other people came. They said, we don't know what to do with these people. All they do is chant Hari Hari. And Hari Hari, when I see them, Hari Hari, they're dancing, Hari Hari, and they're saying Hari Hari, and Hari Hari, Hari Hari. And Kazi said, you're not even a Hindu. Why are you always saying Hari Hari? And they said, because after seeing them, after hearing them, Hari Hari, we can't stop saying Hari Hari. Hari Hari! And then some Hindu priests, they came and said, this Nimai Pandit is spoiling our whole religion. Don't you know that according to our scripture, these mantras, these names of God are very secret. They're only allowed to be chanted by twice-born Brahmins who perform all the various rituals of Brahminical life. And he's giving these mantras and these names to everyone and anyone, to housewives and to children and to people who are not even Brahmins and to farmers. And because of this, all of our mantras are going to lose all their potency and God's going to be angry and destroy us. And you are our leader. You must protect us. Stop this man. Now Narasimhadev already appeared to him. And his soldiers already had burnt faces. And all these other people couldn't stop saying Hari Hari. So he told these Brahmins, I'll do the best I can. Just go home. Just go home. I'll stop him. Just go home. So he was explaining all these things to Lord Chaitanya. And then he came to his realization. He said, I can understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of all lords, is Lord Narayan in your scripture. I know for sure, Nimai, that you are Lord Narayan. And Lord Chaitanya smiled and said to Chan Kazi, today with faith, you said the name Krishna, you said Hari Hari, and you said the name of Narayan. And because the holy name is all pure, and because you have chanted with faith without offense, therefore now, Chankazi, you are completely purified. And Chankazi, he was in ecstasy. When Lord Chaitanya said he was purified, with those words, he actually totally purified Chankazi's house, heart. And then the Lord said, I have one more thing to ask of you. You're in charge of this whole town of Navadvip. Do not interfere with Kirtan anymore. And Chankazi made a proclamation. He made a vow. He said, as long as I live, as long as any of my descendants live, I vow that no one will ever interfere with the kirtan of Krishna's holy name. Chankazi, he became one of the most intimate, loving devotees of Lord Chaitanya, although he kept his post as Chankazi. He didn't formally change his religion or anything because he understood the essence and the supreme goal of all religions is the one supreme God. And now he had ecstatic love. He had perfected Islam. He had perfected Hinduism, Christianity, Judaism, everything. If you love God, you Sanatan Dharma, Prema Bhakti is the ultimate crescendo goal of all spiritual paths. And they became the most intimate associates. Lord Chaitanya then took his leave. And all the devotees outside were chanting, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu joined the kirtan. And Chankazi left his house, left all his ministers and his servants, and came to join the kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya said, better you go home. Better you go home. Lord Chaitanya was very sensitive. He said, you go home. Keep it in your heart. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu led the kirtan to Simantadweep. He especially led all, by that time it was just the devotees and everyone else from the Chankazis dispersed to their homes. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his most intimate devotees, he continued the kirtan to the house of Kola Vecha Sridhar. Kolavecha Sridhar was a very simple banana leaf seller. But it's getting late, so maybe I'll tell the story tomorrow. Kolavecha Sridhar. But you already took prasad, so I can tell it now. Huh? They haven't taken prasad. They're still fasting. Just lemon juice. Okay. So tonight, the culmination of the story with Kolavecha Sridhar, maybe we'll tell it tomorrow, is he was very poor. He had practically no, he lived in a thatched hut. He wore raggedy clothes. His house was just one tiny little room. He had no furniture, no possessions. He made his living just selling some banana leaves and sometimes some bananas too. And when Lord Chaitanya was a little boy, Nimai, he would come and bargain for his bananas and sometimes steal them. And Sridhar loved Lord Chaitanya. He loved this Nimai. And one day, Lord Chaitanya said to Kolavecha Sridhar, you worship Krishna, but what's he giving you in return? This is not a house. This is a one-room little shack. These are not clothes. These are all ripped up, and you tie knots. Can't even afford thread. And your body is so thin because of hunger. And Sridhar said, I'm completely satisfied just serving Krishna. I'm totally satisfied. I don't want anything else. The Lord said, someday I am going to show the world your true wealth. You are hiding a precious treasure and pretending to be poor. And on that night, after Chankazi's kirtan, Lord Chaitanya went to the house of Kolavecha Sridhar and saw his only possession was a very old, battered up little iron cup that he would keep water for washing, for drinking, and he kept it just outside of his house. Lord Chaitanya picked up that water cup in front of everyone and drank it. Kolavecha Sridhar said, now I'm dead. The Supreme Lord is drinking from the water I've drunk, from the water I've washed with, from this old, this iron vessel was so beat up. Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat, says, even the most desperate thief would not even look at it, considering stealing it. And here the Lord, as he was drinking, he was weeping tears of ecstasy. He said, this water is nectar. Today I am completely purified. Today, for the first time, I am tasting the ecstasy of love of Krishna because I have drunk the water representing the love of the heart of Kolavecha Sridhar. And he kept drinking more and more and more. And all the devotees, seeing the love between the Lord and his devotees, they were rolling on the ground in love. The Supreme Lord will not even cast his glance on a golden pot bedecked with jewels if it's not being offered with love from his devotee. But he considers more valuable than everything in the creation even the water from that old iron pot, because it was the water of his devotee. The Lord crushed into powder all misconceptions that spiritual life is based on any material consideration. Whatever material abilities, whatever material assets we have, certainly it should be used with great enthusiasm in the Lord's service. But the Lord accepts the love, the devotion it is offered. Krishna is conquered by the love of his devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on this holy day of Gaur Purnima, descended to this world for this purpose, to distribute the ripened fruits of love of God. Distribute it everywhere. It's a very dramatic conclusion to my On this holy night of Sri Gaur Purnima, let us put our hands together and offer a heartfelt prayer, a prayer of gratitude to Srila Prabhupada
for sacrificing his life to distribute these fruits of love of God all over the world. His compassion is the qualification for all of us. Let us bow our heads with gratitude and devotion to Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the golden avatar, Krishna, who came to taste the sweetness of Radha's love and to share that love with all of us. Let us pray that we can be truly grateful and humble to receive this supreme of all gifts, to be the servant of the servant of the servant, to develop a great taste for hearing about Krishna, chanting Krishna's names, serving Krishna, and sharing this fruit of prema bhakti with the world. If we are humble, we can be grateful. And if we are really grateful, we can have a genuine enthusiasm to serve and to sing the holy names. Let us pray for these genuine qualities. So that we could please the Lord in our lifetime. Thank you very much.